God. The terrible camera recording angle is... it's going to trip me out.
Hello.
Just kidding. All right. Hello, I'm Katie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
My sobriety date is January 11, 2011. I have a sponsor. I sponsor others. I have a home group. It's actually tonight. I skipped it. It's the Grapevine Gals meeting. If you're a gal and you want to come check it out, meets Thursdays at 7 at Bayshore. Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I haven't spoken in a long time. I think the last time I spoke was here, so sorry if you were here. I feel like Jesse's here like every time I speak. I feel so bad for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I come from a pretty normal family. I'm from the Midwest. I'm the oldest of three kids. Growing up in my house was interesting, you know, normal, I guess. My dad is an alcoholic, so we had a little bit of that going on. It was just like, what I remember from being a kid is like just kind of feeling like scared and out of place a lot in my home and at other places as well. Even when I knew people and like had friends, you know, but I am also I try to overcompensate for feeling scared and weird. I still do that, obviously. And, I can be perceived as like an extrovert. So I was always like, you know, the funny kid or like, you know, had a lot of friends and stuff, but like really, I felt like really weird all the time. My dad was an alcoholic, so, you know, he wasn't, like, abusive or mean, like, super mean or anything, but, like, definitely growing up in my house, like, when I was a teenager, like, you know, or, like, a preteen, maybe 10, I don't know, you know, started realizing that alcohol did something to my dad that wasn't good, and it made my mom upset. And it made me feel scared. And it made me and my brother and my sister cry sometimes, you know? And it was just, like, a little bit confusing. And I just remember, like, as a kid being like, yeah, I'm never gonna drink. Like, that is not for me. Like, I'm not gonna be that person. I see what it's done to my dad. Like, it's just, it's not a good situation. I'm not gonna do it. And so, you know, as I kind of grew up, we moved to Florida like halfway through my sophomore year in high school, which was challenging. I lived in Cincinnati, Ohio at that time, so it was just very different down here. And I think like even before I started drinking, because I started drinking like after I moved here, kind of as a coping mechanism, but I had already started to exhibit some like not so normal behaviors, you know, with like self-harm and, you know, being in like really kind of like toxic, mildly abusive relationships and just being like mentally and emotionally unstable, you know. It was like kind of apparent that I was not a stable person. And so when I moved down here, it just kind of like threw me over the edge, you know. Like I was suicidal. I was 15. Suicidal, like so lonely, super depressed. I missed my life back home. I was extremely self-pitying and feeling sorry for myself. And I went to this like private high school. I went to Tampa Catholic, and when I moved down here briefly, and I was like definitely not cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like these kids were like very cool, and I was like a loser. Okay, and so, you know, one thing I noticed is that they all like, you know, these kids, like their parents had money, and they were all like getting drunk every weekend and having these parties, and like, you know, I really missed my friends back home in this, like, whole drinking atmosphere. Like, it looked really appealing to me, even though somewhere in my mind I was like, yeah, but you said you were never going to drink, you know, your dad, like, that whole thing. But it just got to the point one time where it didn't matter anymore. Like, I just was like, I need to do something to change the way I'm feeling, you know? So I think, like, right off the bat, like, of course, I wasn't, like, really conscious of it at that time. I was just like, yeah, I want to drink with the cool kids, you know? But I was definitely, like, trying to, like, make myself feel better or whatever. So yeah, the first time I drank, I was, like, 15 or 16, maybe 15. And, yeah, I was, like, with some girls on my volleyball team. And I remember being, like, really nervous and, like, apprehensive about the sleepover where I knew we were going to drink. Like, I was, you know, anticipating it all week. And then getting there, we drank, you know, like, a flavored Bacardi. And, you know, we just chugged it. You know, we just took shots. And I just, like, kept taking shots. And, you know, I didn't quite black out, but almost. And I got really sick, like, threw up, passed out. And, you know, the other girls maybe weren't quite as intense, but kind of did the same thing. You know, it seemed pretty normal. And I just remember feeling like I was part of, you know, like, I was in. I had arrived. Like, I felt, like, so just happy to be in this group of people and feeling like I belonged to something and not feeling lonely and, you know, not feeling sad and, you know, thinking obsessively about myself and how much I hated my life or missed my friends from Ohio or, like, whatever. So that was my first time drinking. And then, yeah, I would say right away, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that was so amazing. I got to do that again. And so I started, you know, drinking every weekend. Didn't really seem to be, like, affecting my life at this point. I was just party on the weekends. It's like, that's what all the other kids were doing as well. I will say there might have been a slight difference in the way I was drinking versus the way some other people were drinking. You know, like, I would definitely be one of the more intoxicated people at any party or event that I was at. And I thought that was cool. I thought it was funny. I kind of, like, wore that, like, a badge of honor. Like, I earned my, like, party girl reputation, like, immediately. And people would just kind of, like, expect me to get super drunk and do funny things or stupid things or embarrassing things. And I just kind of, like, went along with it, you know? And then we would laugh and talk about it, you know, on Monday at school. I started doing some things that, like, maybe I wouldn't have done sober, you know. I'm sure we all have that experience, but maybe I felt a little bit ashamed when someone informed me, like, what I had said or done, or if I woke up with, like, a guy and, you know, that whole situation. Like, I was not feeling super great about some of those things. But it was not bad enough to deter me or keep me from doing what I was doing. I was having a good time. I was having fun. My story does, you know, involve some other substances. And so, you know, that's fine. It is what it is. I will say, try to keep it to alcohol. But, you know, one of my first consequences early on was that I got expelled from the school that I was at for selling magic brownies. And, you know, that was like, I was still like, didn't really have a problem, at least, you know, in my opinion. At that point, I was like 16 years old and I had started doing some other substances, and that's just, you know, it just came up. That's normal. And, yeah, I got in pretty big trouble for that. Yeah, I got expelled. My parents were like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? They didn't really know what I was doing, okay? My parents were very strict. And so usually when I was drinking, like, I would be like, oh, yeah, I'm spending the night at so-and-so's house. And, like, they would say they're spending the night at my house, and we'd just go to a party and, like, sleep in someone's car, you know, or, like, sleep at this kid's house whose parents didn't care, or, like, whatever. Or I would be sneaking out of my window. I was, like, really good at sneaking out of my window. So my parents were, like, totally clueless. Like, you know, I was not allowed to drink or do drugs. Like, that was not okay in my house. So anyways, when they found out, like, that I got expelled for selling drugs, they were like, what is happening? So they made me see, like, a counselor. I immediately started school at, like, the public school by my house. And yeah, they started, like, regularly drug testing me. So that kept, you know, there's only certain days out of the month I could do stuff, you know what I'm saying? You find ways around things, you know? I was a pretty smart gal, resourceful. There's a lot of stuff out there can help you with those drug tests. So it was just, yeah, a lot of lying and a lot of sneaking around with my parents kind of started, you know, pretty bad then. And I kind of, like, you know, I said I had a little brother and sister, but when I started, when my parents started understanding what kind of behaviors I was doing, like, I just, the focus of the family kind of, like, shifted on me, and everything was all of a sudden about me and what I was doing, and, like, it was just so incredibly self-centered, and I made everything about myself. And, like, if my parents, like, didn't let me go out with a friend, or, like, didn't let me do this or that, like, I would throw, like, a tantrum and, like, just be super dramatic and annoying and ruin the day for the whole family. You know, I just, like, did not care. I feel so bad for them, you know, like, it just was, I was a miserable person to be around at that time in my life, like, my later teenage years. So yeah, so I start going to this new school, and, you know, that's not going to stop me. Getting expelled, getting drug tested, like, who cares? Like I said, we're resourceful. We find ways around this stuff. So I immediately, like, beelined to the people in my new school that I could tell, like, partied, you know? That's something I hear commonly in AA, you know, since I've been sober, is that, like, we always find the people that are like us, you know? And I certainly always found the people that were like me. And eventually a part of me, like, wanted to hang out with those people because I didn't feel so bad about myself if I was hanging around people doing the same thing, you know? At that time, I just was looking to party, so I needed to find those people. So, yeah, so I ended up hanging out with all these kids, and, you know, that was, like, my junior to senior year in high school. I had always, like, been smart and gotten good grades. I had, like, already applied to some colleges and stuff, gotten accepted, so I wasn't really, you know, too worried about school anymore. I was just trying to, like, pass. Yeah, I was, like, just a disaster at that school. I would skip school all the time, like, you know, I would call the attendance line and pretend like I was my mom, you know, and I would be, like, in a trailer park somewhere, like, doing some bad stuff, like, on a Monday morning, like, pretending that I was sick, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I got caught doing that. Like, my mom, like, called me one time, and she's like, where are you? Like, they just called me and said that you've been sick for the fifth time in the past month. And, you know, I was just, like, really, my parents were, they were just, like, horrified. They had no idea, like, who I was, like, what happened to their daughter, you know? So during this time, I would say my drinking towards the end of high school definitely, like, increased in frequency, you know? Like, I went from being a weekend drinker to, yeah, let's meet this person, like, on the way to school and maybe have a few drinks, like, before we go to school, you know? And so I would do that a few times a week. And then, like, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday became, like, definitely Thursday, you know? I lived in, you know, we went to Ybor on Thursdays, obviously. Like Club Piranha back in those days. But, and G-Bar, of course. So, yeah. So, just the frequency of drinking, you know, began to increase. And I'll never forget the first time I was physically removed from alcohol and other substances. It was after I graduated and I went on a cruise with my parents. And I have never, well, I mean, until that point, had never felt so terrible. I was like, oh my gosh, am I sick? Like, what is wrong with me? Like, I've got the chills. Like, I am not well, you know? And I had been doing, you know, drinking and doing some other substances pretty much daily at this point that, you know, had caused some sort of physical dependency. And so I didn't realize at the until I got back and, like, told my boyfriend, like, oh, my God, I was so sick the whole time. And he's like, yeah, you were withdrawing, you silly girl. And I was like, oh, my gosh, no way. There is no way. I am not no, that's crazy. Like, I am not dependent on alcohol or anything else. Like, that's insane. You know, I, like, didn't believe it, but then it kept happening, you know. And so I started, that's when my life started to, like, really change, you know, when partying became more than just partying. It became something that I needed to do to, like, feel normal physically, but also to, like, feel normal mentally and emotionally, you know. Like, I could no longer really hold conversations with people if I was sober. Like, I was just, like, you know, either couldn't look you in the eye and, like, you know, or was, like, angry. And as soon as I drank, like, it just, all of that discomfort and, like, anxiety and, like, anger and sadness and whatever else just would, like, melt away, you know? And it was just kind of like, I hated being sober, like, from that point on. Like, I felt like I didn't ever want to be so, like, why would I ever want to be sober, you know? Like, everything sucks when I'm sober. My perception, my perspective of the world is just, it's a dark and gloomy place, and I don't really want to be a part of it. But as soon as I get that drink in my body, like, I'm seeing in color again, you know? And I started, like, having this, like, mental awareness that that's what was happening, you know? I feel like I've always been a pretty self-aware person. That doesn't really help if you don't do anything about it. But, like, I just remember being like, man, this is kind of messed up, you know? But I'm just going to keep going because what's my other option at this point, you know? So I went off, like, to college, and, you know, things just kept getting progressively worse and worse, you know, as my dependency on alcohol and other stuff, like, just, like, got worse and worse, and I just felt, you know, like I was getting darker and darker into this, like, hole that I was living in. And, you know, I started, like, just doing, like, all sorts of, like, illegal things to, like, get money to buy more drugs and alcohol. And I just started doing things that I was, like, really ashamed of, things I never thought I would do. And I would just have these, like, moral battles all the time with myself. Like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, I would have these, like, moments of clarity where I would realize, like, how disgusting my life was and how miserable it was. And then I would, like, snap out of it and be like, oh, no, it's fine. This is fine. Like, you're good. Like, you could quit at any time. Like, you're just not trying to quit. Like, you are totally good, you know. And I would, like, start to do those, like, promises with myself, like, okay, I woke up today and, like, I'm not going to drink today. I am not going to drink today. I'm going to show everyone. I'm going to go to class. I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to do my homework. And I'm not going to drink. And then, like, by noon, I would be, like, you know, someone would call me. I would just end up drunk. Like, I didn't know how it would happen. You know, I was, like, truly powerless over drugs and alcohol. And it was, like, really scary. You know, again, I kept having these brief moments of, like, fuck. Like, what am I doing, you know? It was scary. And so at that point, I was probably, like, 18 or 19. I started trying to, like, make attempts on my own to stop drinking. And I did a lot of interesting things, you know? Like, I saw a drug and alcohol counselor for a little while. That was good. I would just go in there and lie every single time. Like, it seemed really beneficial. So that was good. I got on a medication that was supposedly, like, an abuse type of situation. And I was like, well, let me try it and see if it works, you know? They're like, if you drink or take this substance while you take this pill, like, you're either going to get sick or it's not going to get you high. And I was like, well, I'll try and see. And it worked. And so I was like, never took that again, you know? Like, I had the best of intentions. I just, like, I could not follow through, you know? Like, I physically could not follow through. And actually, I always love saying this when I'm at this meeting, because I had this friend for a period of time. And he was messed up too. Like, he was messed up. And, like, we were great friends because, like, he also had the self-awareness that, like, things were not cool, you know? Like, this was not a good way to live. And he would always be like, we should go to AA. There's a young people's meeting in Tampa. And I'd be like, no way, let's do it. You know, and we would like make these plans to come to this meeting. And we never made it, but, you know, we thought about it. I did go to AA at one point. I went to a meeting. I can't remember why, what sparked it. Oh, there was a lot of stuff that happened as well. You know, like, I wasn't just chilling. You know, I got arrested 4 times. You know, I crashed 3 cars. Like, things were not good. My life was very, very clearly unmanageable. At the same time, I lived this, like, weird double life where I was this, like, you know, party person. And then, like, I was a student, you know what I'm saying? And I would get, like, really hyped up and go to class and be, like, taking a bunch of notes and getting A's on tests and stuff. And so I was, like, it was just really weird. But I don't know what event happened that made me want to go to AA, but I did try to go to AA. I went to a women's meeting on the USF campus. It was really cool. It was super nice. Met some really nice women. The chips really confused me. I was, like, why are they counting? Why are they counting in a row the days they've been sober? Like, that doesn't make sense. What if I just, like, want to have a night to myself? You know, like, what if I just want to take a break? Like, I didn't understand, you know? And also, like, I'm sorry I keep mentioning this, but, like, it is a very big part of my story. Like, I didn't understand the concept of, like, sobriety, you know, like, abstinence from all drugs and alcohol. Like, I would remove one substance out of my regimen, and I would, like, write in my diary, like, I'm sober today. Like, I just took 3 shots of vodka and smoked a blunt, but, like, I'm sober, you know? Like, I just, like, did not understand, like, what needed to happen in order for me to, like, get better. You know, I'm trying to think what else I did. I don't know. I tried, you know, all the, like, getting different groups of friends. I had a lot of different groups of friends. I usually would have, like, one close girlfriend, and we would just, like, use each other for, you know, whatever. And, like, we weren't really actually friends. You know, no one in the entire world, like, knew me. Like, knew who I was. Knew what I really thought or how I felt about anything. Like, I did not have relationships like that, you know? I was not capable of, like, being a friend. My family was, like, you know, we weren't estranged. They, thankfully, like, you know, stayed in my life. My parents, they used to call me, like, A Katie and B Katie. You know, they would, like, come pick me up from college to, like, hang out for a day, and they're like, oh, you know, I'd have, like, I'd been up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning the night before. I've got, like, makeup all over my face, and, like, my hair is a rat's nest, and they're like, oh, we got B Katie today, you know? Or, like, A Katie was like, I'm on a bunch of substances, and I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? You know, like, you know, so, like, they didn't really know who I was either. You know what I'm saying? I was, like, alone in the world. Yeah. So, okay. Getting sober, like, nothing really that bad, you know, comparatively. Like I said, a lot of, like, very crazy things happened when I was drinking. It was, like, never a dull moment. Got arrested 4 times, all this stuff, for various, you know, activities that I was doing while I was under the influence, that were illegal. And, yeah, so, and I just was, like, really, not sneaky. Like, I used to think, like, people didn't know I was messed up or drunk or whatever, like, everyone knew, you know? But, that's why I would get arrested. But anyways, when I got sober, nothing had really happened. I had a really bad New Year's Eve in 2010, and I was dating this guy at the time who was, like, a really nice guy, because that was, like, a cure, you know what I'm saying? Like, stop dating, like, the scumbags and just, like, date, like, a nicer guy and that has a job, maybe, and, like, you'll be fine. So I was dating this guy, and I was lying to him about my daily routines and habits, you know, and I would go to his house for, like, a week, and I would just, like, lock myself in the bathroom a lot and do what I had to do, and, like, he wouldn't know, and he started to catch on. Like I said, I wasn't as sly as I thought that I was, but we were really, really drunk on New Year's Eve, and I locked myself in the bathroom to take care of some stuff, and, like, it was his house, so he, like, opened the door, you know, And he was like, what are you doing? And so he caught me and he was like, gave me an ultimatum. He's like, okay, you need to stop doing all this. Otherwise, like, I'm not going to be with you. And I was like, okay. And I gave it my full effort. Like, I've never tried so hard. I think I made it 8 days. Again, I was still doing other stuff, but it was like this, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was a miracle. I've gone so long. Like, I haven't. And then, like, on the 9th day, like, for no reason, I just got drunk again, you know? Like, for no reason, it was just like, I just ended up drunk. And I was just like, I was disturbed. I was like deeply disturbed inside of myself. I was like, I am not okay. Like, this is not a phase. That's one thing I would tell myself all the time is like, you're in college, you're so young. Like, it's just a phase, you know? And I just like, I had this internal like knowing, you know, that like, this was not a phase. Like, I had a problem and things might not turn out well for me if I didn't address it, you know? So that day, I was seeing a therapist. My parents, like, ever since I got expelled from that school, they made me, like, see this therapist, like, the same lady for, like, the next 6 years. And I would just see her, and I would just lie to her every single time, you know? And, like, every once in a while, I would come in there and tell her the truth, like, you know? And then, like, the next, like, 4 times, I would spend doing, like, damage control. Like, no, it wasn't as bad as I said it was. And, like, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? So I thankfully had an appointment with her, and I went in. My dad took me there that day. I didn't have a car. Obviously, I wrecked cars. The two of the cars I wrecked were not mine. I wrecked one of my cars. But I used to take the bus everywhere, but, for, you know, the city bus. But this day, my dad, like, dropped me off at therapy. And so I go in, and I, like, tell this lady, like, everything that's going on, you know? Like, I just am, like, brutally honest with her for the first time in, like, a long time. And I'm not saying it in, like, a crazy, like, theatrical way. Like, I'm just, like, being honest. And she's like, okay, well, why don't you call your dad to come back in here and you can tell him everything you just told me. And so I had to call my dad back and, like, tell my dad a bunch of, like, really horrible things that, like, no dad wants to hear about their daughter, especially. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was humiliating. It was awful. It was, like, one of the worst feelings. Like, it just makes me want to crawl out of my skin just thinking about it. And, like, in that moment, it was so powerful. Like, my shame and my desire to change was so strong. And she was like, do you want to go to treatment? I think you should go to treatment. And I said, okay. And so we called the treatment center, like, right there and then. And, you know, they scheduled me for, like, an assessment. I did the assessment. Long story short, it doesn't even matter anymore, but I, like, lied about, you know, during the assessment. Because, of course, like, after this, like, 5 seconds of feeling really bad about myself in front of my dad and shit, like, I left and I, like, went and got drunk, you know, and, like, forgot. Like, I was like, God, why did I do that, you know? Like, why did I do that? But, you know, a part of me was like, no, this is good. You know what? This is okay. Like, I was about to start my last semester in college. I had this job at this, like, law firm, but it was, like, kind of stupid, you know? So I just, like, dropped out of my classes, emailed my manager, and I was like, I need to take a medical leave. And I just, like, I went to inpatient treatment, you know? And when I got there, I was like, you know, again, I had been to an AA meeting before, but I didn't connect that, like, AA and treatment, like, I didn't know they were going to make me go to AA. I, like, tried to Google them, you know, the treatment center on the internet, and it was like, don't bring your jewelry there, people are going to steal it, you know, that's, like, all I remember, like, reading about. And it's actually really, like, kind of disturbing and sad, but my last day before I went to treatment, it was, like, so depressing because I, like, knew that it was ending, you know, like, my run was ending. And so I, like, got drugs in the neighborhood across the street from where I went to treatment, which is incredibly ironic. And then I got drunk I had 2-for-1 at Chili's, like, that in Citrus Park, you know, like, that was my last hurrah. Like, it was so sad. It was so gross, you know? Okay, so then I went to treatment. Anyways, I didn't know they were going to tell me I couldn't drink anymore, you know? I was 21, and I was like, I am here because I did a bunch of drugs. And they were like, okay, well, here's the big book, and, you know, we take you to AA and NA meetings, and just so you know, like, you can't, you know, if you want to be sober, like, that means you can't drink, you know? I thought they were just going to be like, yeah, don't do that substance anymore, and, like, let's manage your your other recreational activities, including drinking, like, a little better, like, stop being so dumb about it, you know? But no, this treatment center was hardcore, man. Hardcore. They were like, get a sponsor, go to this meeting, you know, start being honest, like, in your groups. And I gotta tell you, being honest, like I said, I always felt like I was leading this, like, weird double life, and, like, also, like, nobody knew me, you know? And, like, I went to this group, and I said something really honest and vulnerable, because I was, like, coming down, man. I was feeling, you know, at first, I was like, I gotta do something. I feel crazy right now. And it felt so good. It felt so good to be honest and to have, like, a bunch of, like, other people be like, oh, yeah, I feel that way too, you know? And, like, the counselor or the therapist be like, yeah, you're in the right place, you know? And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this is so nice. Like, I feel like I belong somewhere, you know? And I felt like that immediately, like, the first day I was there. Actually, the first girl I met was Jen, and she took me to the grocery store to get food. She worked at this treatment center at the time, and, like, she was talking to me about, you know, my disease and her experience and all this stuff, and it was just, like, it was so nice, you know, to feel like I could relate to someone else. I didn't realize, like, how much I had been craving that in my life. And so, yeah, you know, it was really weird. I had this, like, you know, 50-50 kind of mentality. My first couple weeks sober, like, you know, I was, like, detoxing and stuff and, like, obsessing a lot. You know, that obsession, like, we started immediately, like, diving into, like, the obsession and compulsion to drink. And I was like, I have that, like, 100%. You know, like, when I start thinking about drinking, even if I've already told myself that I'm not going to drink, like, there is nothing that can stop me. Like, I literally can't stop. Like, I've tried it multiple times. Like, I can't do it, you know? And that's something that I remember today, like, 13 years later, I get, like, so, like, been out of shape about, like, the dumbest stuff. And I'm like, hey, remember when you literally couldn't stop drinking? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, it's so crazy that that intense, like, nonstop obsession is not something like that happens to me anymore. You know, it's crazy. You know, in treatment and in early AA, yeah, what I was going to say is that they were like, you know, get a sponsor. And I was kind of like, some days I was like, might as well just, like, try this way of life, you know, because what do I have to lose? You know, I've got nothing to lose right now. I'm in a actually really good spot to, like, maybe get a whole brand new life, you know, like, kind of just throw everything away. And so, and then other days I was like, screw this, you know, it was just kind of back and forth. But I did get a sponsor, this wonderful, wonderful girl who would answer my calls. She came to meet me in treatment and, like, talk to me, and we did, like, the first three steps, and she was just an angel. I loved her so much. And, you know, like, again, like, as soon as I started reading the big book, I was like, oh, man, they are talking about me. Like, this is crazy. Like, I've never seen my personality described on paper before. Like, it was, like, it was very, very powerful, you know? And I had this huge hang up in the beginning of my recovery, probably for, like, the first year, that I wasn't sure if I was an alcoholic. And I hear in AA a lot that you have to practice the first step perfectly, and I don't think I did that. I don't think I'd still do that today. You know, I just do the best I can, and I'm really honest about where I'm at, you know, with that. But, like, I was like, I came here because of drugs. Like, I'm not an alcoholic. Like, but, like, really what I wasn't able to vocalize is just that I can't imagine my life without drinking. I'm 21 years old. Like, what do you mean, like, I can't drink anymore? You know, like, I was so devastated. Sometimes I'm still devastated. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, like, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And I think for a little while, like, I wasn't really willing to, like, you know, look at my drinking as being the same as my drug use, and, like, look at my drinking honestly, you know? And when I was able to, like, finally, like, work through some of that stuff, and I had, like, a weird, like, epiphany about it when I was, like, a year sober, you know, and it just, it all happens in God's time, you know? And I, like, truly believe that. And, like, you know, the first year, like, probably because I wasn't able to, like, willingly do the first step, I wanted to drink all the time. Like, I was like, oh my God, it was like so crazy. I went to a meeting every day the first year, like multiple meetings. I went to this inpatient treatment center for 3 months. Then I got out, I went to a halfway house. I lived there for like a year. I did outpatient treatment for 9 months. Like it was kind of, it was intense. I worked at Denny's. I didn't have a car. I would get on the bus in deep south of Gandy. I would get on the bus for like 2.5 hours and go to my job at Denny's in Town and Country. And it was amazing. I worked there like during the week and on the weekends from like 8 to 3, and then I would get off of work and I would go to meet up with people at the Starbucks on Howard, and we would go to meetings. And that's what I did every day, and it was great. The fellowship of AA is certainly what saved me in the beginning when I wasn't, you know, so hot at some of these other parts of the program, you know, like meeting, you know, all the people in treatment was great. But then when I got out and started going to AA, I was like, oh my God, there's so many people. And like, these people aren't as messed up as the people I was in treatment with, because they've actually been sober for a little while, you know? And yeah, so I try to take all the suggestions to the best of my ability, you know, call people, work the steps. Like, I started working the steps right away. It took me like a while to get through the steps. I kept switching sponsors in the beginning for like various reasons. But eventually, like, I got through the steps and I was able to, you know, really let go of some of my resentments, my fears, talk about all this stuff. Start to pull my head out of my ass a little bit, start to feel like a normal person, like a functioning member of society, like someone I wasn't ashamed of, you know? Like, I was always so ashamed of myself and like hated myself. Like, I had so much like self-hatred when I came here. Like, that stuff started to like fall away as I started to just like do the next right thing one, you know, multiple days in a row. You know what I mean? It was just like really cool. And then really when I started to sponsor other women and like share my experience, strength, and hope in that way and do that kind of service is really when I feel like my life started to like seriously change and like, you know, not just like the exterior of my life, but like how I functioned as a person in the world, you know, and how I chose to see things. And yeah, I just started to like really get a lot of those promises that you know, are talked about here in AA. And, you know, I feel like people always go through this part so fast, but it's so fast. It's like year one and now it's year 13. You know what I mean? Like I've been doing the same thing, you know? And I think like the first couple years I was sober, I definitely, after that first like really hard challenging year, like I was on this like pink cloud. I was still going to meetings every day. I was super involved in the middle of the boat. You know, I was young. I had a whatever job, like I wasn't married. I didn't have kids, all the stuff, whatever. And then, you know, I hear a lot like, don't let the things like the, you know, take you back out. And like, it's true, you know, and I've been here for a while and I've seen a lot of people go back out because they get too busy to do AA. And like, it's certainly a challenge. And I, after like maybe 5 years sober, like, you know, my ass isn't on fire anymore. And I've got like all these other like life commitments that I have to do. And, you know, I'm too tired to go to that meeting or like whatever, you know, whatever the excuse is. And for me personally, just me, I am not well. Okay. Like if I'm not at a meeting at least once a week today, I am thinking about drinking. I am feeling sorry for myself that I am an alcoholic and that I had to get sober at 21 and this is bullshit. And like, why don't I just like have a glass of wine and like see what happens, you know? And I like try to convince my husband all the time that I'm not an alcoholic and I would be more fun if I drank. And he's just like, oh my God. You know, I just like, I start to lose my mind. And honestly, that is what I think makes me an alcoholic. You know, the great obsession of every abnormal drinker is to one day control and enjoy their drinking, you know? And a lot of times I can be in AA with time sober and like be like, oh man, I don't want to share these thoughts with people because they're going to know like I'm not doing good, you know, or they're going to think I'm doing AA wrong or, you know, whatever. And it's just bullshit. Like, that's why we're all here. I'm here because I'm an alcoholic. I got to keep showing up every single day. Otherwise, I'm going to drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just my truth, and I know that for myself. And so that's why I keep coming here. And, you know, I'm not guaranteed anything, you know. I just truly only have today, and I feel like today I can really like live in that and know that and like accept that, and it's just a better way to live. So thank you guys so much for letting me speak.